Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the show. I am your host. I am doing an unprecedented show today because I am not in my studio. I am out on the road. I am in the car. I was doing one of my daddy duties today, and so I got held up. And I'm going to be in traffic, but because I love this show, I love you guys, the show has got to go on, and today is an important show anyway, because we're talking about fathers, and Sunday is Father's Day, so this is like kind of my salute to Father's Day. So I'm going to be talking all the way up until I get to the studio, and then I've got clips to play and all that good stuff, so I'm doing stuff kind of backwards today. Usually I play the music and the clips and the, all that good stuff. But today, because special situation, I'm going to be doing a little bit different today. So, but the show will go on. I will probably end up more than likely before time. And so I will do the clips, whatever time I have left to do the clips and everything. So I will be doing that like that. So, but it's all good. Right now I'm looking at, you want to talk? Right now, I'm sitting in the car with a little cute little baby girl. Her name is Zoe. See if I can get her to say something. She might speak for us, but she's just sitting back here looking cute like she always does. Let me see if I can get her to talk. Hey, baby, say something. She doesn't want to talk right now, so it's all good. If I can get her to talk, I'll put the phone up to her and let her say a few words if she wants to. But today's show is what makes a father or a dad or a pop or papa, daddy, or whatever you want to call your father. And you know, it's very important that that we talk about fathers and, you know, celebrate Father's Day, you know, because Mother's Day is important and Father's Day is just as important. But sometimes I think that us fathers, we kind of get the short end of the stick because of circumstances. You know, there's all kinds of things that can affect how people look at fathers. You know, people like to say that, you know, fathers deadbeats. I like to say that fathers, you know, leave their families and were dogs and, you know, all that type of thing. Well, I'm here to tell you that all fathers are not like that. yes, there are certain situations that happen, there are certain things that happen, but we are not like that. I mean, we're human beings like everybody else. Things happen, but, you know, some things we can't control. You want to talk? So I'm going to try to get her to talk. You know, every time she's talking. But, no, she didn't want to talk. Nah, well, I'll try to get her to say a few words later on. But it's important that we celebrate fathers and all that kind of stuff. Oh, she thinks I'm leaving. Okay. I think she had kind of a hard day today. But like I was saying, oh, it's all right. But like as I was saying, you know, children need their fathers. I think somebody's hungry. Okay. Okay. Right now we're stopped. We're gonna see if I can juggle a couple of things at the same time. Try to multitask if I can. But it's important that we do try to be good as good as we can. It's all right. Just do my thing. But it's important that we do what we do. In order to do the best job that we can. So we are going to be talking about this till I got why are you being mean to me? So like I said, this has probably never been done before. I'm on the road again, driving down the street. Hopefully the traffic's going to be kind of not backed up, so I can get to the laptop and do what I have to do. Because, like I said, the show must go on. Even though I'm not there sitting in the chair usually doing it. But it's going to happen anyway. So, like I said, you know, all children need their fathers. They can't have their, you know, maternal fathers. And uncle, cousin, brother, something like that. You know, some families, you know, the father can't be with the family like he wants to be. I mean, it could be death in the family. You know, it could be a whole lot of different things. But no matter what the situation is, they are very important. So Father's Day is important to celebrate if you can. But I just think sometimes it just gets overlooked. And as you can hear in the background, somebody's not happy. So try to make her happy because she's not feeling it right now. But I had some clips lined up that were pretty interesting to listen to. I think one, if I'm not mistaken, was talking about why, you know, a lot of fathers get bad raps. I said, you know, not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But, you know, at least if you're trying to, you know, be there and do what you need to do, then, I mean, that's better than nothing. That is better than nothing. And at least if you're trying, you know, at least, you know, they will, you know, the children will appreciate what you're doing in the long run. A lot, you know, the younger children may not understand, but as they get older, you know, they may, you know, they may understand what's going on once you explain it to them, because, you know, lots of times they don't know. And if they don't know, then they, you know, don't know the circumstances of they don't know the circumstances of what's going on, then you can explain it. So, so just bear with me. Hopefully it won't be too much longer and I get on the laptop and do all what I got to do. But you'll probably end up hearing traffic in the background. Crying baby in the background, but it's all good. Just adding a little bit more spice to the show. Maybe they'll hit the ratings pop up just a little bit. I don't know. But I just wanted to make sure I was on doing my thing. Since it is a time slot, but this is a very important topic to talk about, and I am here. Okay, so right now I'm stopped, but I'll probably get on the road in a few minutes, and then hopefully traffic won't be bad going to the house from here. I'm in Raleigh. I got to go to Durham, which is about, on a good day, maybe 30 minutes out. But as soon as I get there, I'll keep going with the show, play the information, and then I'll phone calls. Right now, I can't take any phone calls because I'm not at the board to hit the buttons and all that good stuff, so it's all good. So I'll just keep talking until I get home. Like I said, we're going to talk dads. And one of the clips that I found when I was looking, if you go onto my page, you notice that I put pictures up of famous TV dads. I put up a picture of me when with my son when he was a baby. And I was trying to get more. I got to the end of the week. So, you know, if you want to give a shout out to your dad, got a picture with your father or whatever, you can hit me up on my Facebook page. Is at the Aunt Canary Experience. And that's Canary, Canery. If you want to do that. So we got the rest of the week. I'm going to be putting more pictures up of dads. One of the pictures I have up is a picture of James Evans Sr. And we all know who James Evans Sr. is. He's the father of JJ and on Good Times. And that's one of my favorite shows. And you're probably like me. I only watch Good Times. Only episodes I like watching Good Times are with him in them. When he was killed off the show, I don't watch those episodes. And you're probably like I am. I don't watch them. I can't even watch the last two episodes. They were the two-parter when they thought that the family was moving to Mississippi, and he ended up dying in a car accident. And then they had his funeral, and then Florida did the famous damn, damn, damn. That's why I stopped watching. When they get to those episodes, when I find out those episodes on, I just stop. I don't even watch them anymore. I just quit. Because I just don't like the shows after that. I thought, you know, not only was he funny in the shows, but he was kind of like, he was that strong father figure. He was funny. He had he tried to do the best job that he could, even against a lot of obstacles. But I admired him for it because at least he did try. You know, he could have given up. He could have walked out on the family. I mean, there's a lot of things that he could have done, but he didn't do it. He stayed there. He hung out. He tried to do the best. And a lot of times he did, considering what his circumstances were. So, matter of fact, I've got a clip. John Amos is the actor that plays him. And I got a clip when he was a little short interview. I think it was like 5 minutes. When he was being interviewed, he is smart. He is just, I guess if you want to have an example of the type of father that a lot of, to compare to, he is probably the person, because he is just, you know, just that type of father figure. And no, we can't have, you know, we're not perfect. We, you know, we all can't be like that, but, you know, at least we try. Another example of a father that's, you know, good would be Cosby Show, before Bill Cosby allegedly went nuts with the drugs and all that. I don't, you know, I'm saying allegedly. I'm just talking about the character that he played. I'm not talking about him personally in his real life. I don't know. But the character that he played on the Cosby Show was, you know, funny, doctor, father, a lot of advice. And as a matter of fact, he reminds me of my Uncle James, kind of reminds me of him, just the way, you know, with the advice and, you know, how he acted and everything like that. So, I mean, he's a good father, TV dad. Fred Sanford, played by Red Fox. He's, you know, funny. He can be a little mean, especially to Aunt Esther, but he's still a dad. Even though he calls his only son a dummy, he loves him. That's just probably his way of being, you know, because we all have certain styles of how we raise the kids. I have a certain style. My kids are a little bit older now. Except for the last one. But I had a certain style raising them. My daughter will be 21 this year. My son just turned 15. But I just, you know, as you know, being a parent, being father, being, you know, doesn't come with the book. Being a parent does not come with a handbook. You know, there are no guides. There are books written on the subject, but as far as having the book on being a father, there is no book. It's experience. A lot of it is you have to play it by ear. A lot of it, you know, you ask other fathers, and then we just go from there. And then we try to do, depending on the children, we try to do the best we can to fit whatever personalities, because, you know, different kids have different personalities. So, you know, we try to go from there. You know, I don't consider myself to be a hard, you know, father or anything like that. I was just, I would hang loose. I wouldn't let the kids do what they wanted to do, but I wasn't one of those overbearing, always on top of them, you know, because, I mean, you want your kids to grow up to be halfway normal. You don't want them growing up being dysfunctional. You know, you want them to have, you know, good home training, what the old, you know, the older folks used to say. You want them to have good home training, but you don't want them to be, you know, outcast, or you don't want them to be some weird, you know, some weird kid that was just, their childhood was stifled. You don't want, you know, on the train, you know, have your kids grow up where they were just, you know, all in the house 24/7, couldn't go out with their friends, couldn't talk on the phone, couldn't do certain things. Now there was, you know, you have to limit a lot of that stuff. But you just don't want to be one of those people that just, you know, every time they said, you know, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do that, because then what'll happen with that is then you'll have kids growing up that they'll grow up to hate you. You know, you're not trying to be their friend or anything, but, you know, you just got to understand that, you know, eventually those kids are going to grow up and they're going to leave the house. You know, sooner or later they're going to leave. And once that day comes, you want to make sure that they are able to take care of themselves in the real world. You don't want them out there being, you know, not equipped to do what they're supposed to do. You know, that's why you have to make sure that, you know, that they're disciplined, that they understand what having responsibilities are. Because, there's a lot of people when they turn 18 and they get out on their own, there's a lot of people that don't have a clue to what's going on. And they get out there and they get caught up. They get caught up, and then all of a sudden they're coming back home because they haven't been taught how to do simple things. And I will tell you this, ladies, if you have sons, you need to teach them how to do things in the house. Teach them how to do things in the house. Oh, I'm sorry. Teach them to do things in the house, cooking, cleaning, washing clothes, things like that, because they're going to need to know how to do those things. Now, it's automatically assumed that women will teach their girls how to do that. But there are some women that don't know how to cook. But especially men, men folk need to know how to do that. Because if you are going to be one of those guys that are always depending on women to cook for you and that type of thing, you're going to be awfully hungry. And if you're type of person that, you know, somebody's washing your clothes for you and all that kind of stuff, you're going to be walking around in some dirty clothes. You're going to have some dirty drawers because, you know, if you don't know how to wash your own clothes and cook and do simple stuff like that, then, you know, you got issues. You know, so you need to learn, make sure that, you know, that men know how to do that. And, you know, and a lot of guys may, you know, look at, oh, I'm not going to learn how to cook. I mean, okay, well, you go right ahead. And then you're going to get tired one day of spending all your money going out to eat at a restaurant or whatever. And then, you know, you're going to get broke. And then you're going to get tired of eating sandwiches. So you need to learn how to cook. I mean, you don't have to be a chef, but you need to learn how to cook basic foods, you know. And, you know, if you got a father that knows how to do that, you know, work the grill or, you know, cook things like that, you know, then, you know, teach your children how to do that. I mean, even teach your girls how to cook on the grill, you know, show them, you know, basic stuff, show them how to do certain things. Because, you know, there are some women that cook on the grill. You know, I think lots of times people like to say that, you know, the kitchen for the women and the grill, you know, and men do the grilling. Well, you know. That can go both ways. So, you know, make sure that the children, you know, teach them things like that. So when they do turn 18 and go out on their own, they will have an idea of how to do simple things. Because, you know, one thing you don't want to do is go to your kid's house, you know, and you're going over to visit or whatever, and you didn't teach them how to wash clothes. You didn't teach them how to clean up. And you go up in there and they got clothes all over the place, and, you know, clothes are, you know, filthy and all that kind of mess. You don't want that, because that's not cool. So, you know, you want to make sure that you make sure you got all that covered. So, So, you know, make sure that you get all that covered. So, you know. So I'm gonna be getting on the road in just a second again. Like I said, this is gonna be I guess we can rule this under a special episode show. Okay. We're rolling. We are rolling. Okay. So if you have, like I said, you have any pictures or shout outs or whatever,
be sure to send those in. No.
I'm riding with a critic in the car with me. I would try to she would do a commercial for me, but I don't think she wants to do that. She just told me I don't want her to do that, so I don't think I want her to do that. But anyway, you know, driving and talking on the phone, that's a hard job. But, you know, the way these people out here drive, that's ridiculous. What they were doing. Good night. Whew. Anywho. So.
You want to say something?
Why not?
I am not.
Oh, man.
Well,
ew. Nah, that's all right. That's all right. Nah, we don't want to go there. So, wow.
Peace and blessings, Brother Anthony. This is Brother Maurice. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
All right. We got Sister Pam that's working your boards, and I'm still at work. But what clip need Sister Pam to play? What clip do you need Sister Pam to play so she can play while you drive?
Okay. Matter of fact, I've got everything already lined up. Everything's lined up by numbers. So we could probably start off with number one and just go right down the list. So everything should be up and running. So everything should be good to go.
Sister Pam, you see that?
So we start at one and then just go down the line.
Okay, just I see Shamika Commercial and Dr. Jones. So
okay, that'll be fine. That'll
okay.
be fine.
Now, I think you're looking for your clips that you put in, right, Brother Anthony?
Yeah. They should be labeled AC1 through AC number 5.
Okay. I look for it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, you, human being. Yeah, you. Did you realize we were made from the earth, the actual soil? You couldn't have realized that, because if you would realize that, you wouldn't be putting chemicals on your skin, because it's like putting chemicals in a plant. What do you put on a plant? Water, some sunlight, and sometimes plant food, depending on how stubborn the plant is. Same thing with our skin, same thing with our hair. So check out my products, Shamika Body Hair and Face Butter Treats, on Facebook and view the price list, the product list, the pictures, and place your order on my email at shamikarobinson1@outlook.com. Stop using chemicals. There is no such thing as eczema and all these ridiculous skin diseases that they're naming, it's called your body is responding to chemicals. So stop letting your body respond to chemicals and get nature involved with natural shea butters and cocoa butters and oils. Again, you were made from the earth. So stop fighting against your nature.
I have one.
Welcome to Ask a Black Man, where we get real answers from real men. This is the fatherhood episode, where the men share their co-parenting struggles and their personal highs and lows of being a black father. Let's meet the men.
That's a societal thing that we're being painted as deadbeat dads.
You don't have the best relationship with your dad. Try and work that out.
We don't take the time out to understand who we are.
Women can appreciate the good man when he sees it.
As soon as they drop that message like, oh, I'm pregnant, you be like,
The child exposes different levels of how broken you really are.
My father's more like the person who is just biologically, that dad is more endearing. Dad is who's been there every day. Dad is, you know, who's taking care of the household responsibility. Mm-hmm. To me, that's dad.
Yeah.
But I guess
it
just
how
you look at
it.
Yeah, as long as you know the difference of it, yeah.
No, I think we all understand, like, there's, like, a difference.
There's a difference between, yeah.
Knock your mom up.
Exactly. who is there? Exactly.
Baby daddy. Yeah.
Right.
That's probably how we should do it. Yeah. Baby in front of the dad is like, that's the guy.
Yeah.
We know the person that's
there. Yeah, yeah. Who deserves that claim. Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta body slam these kids.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we know the difference. Yeah. There's
definitely a distinct difference.
I feel like it really depends on their personal experience and how it either makes them angry or appreciative.
Yeah,
you know,
and exactly. Because I have friends and their kids' dads weren't in their life, so they can be bitter. But then they see me or even other closer friends like, okay, you know, you're taking care of your child, you're doing what you have to do. So now I see what the potential in the dad can really be. So I'm not gonna, okay, I made one mistake with, you know, my kid's father. My next child, I know what I'm looking for in a certain type of man. How to take care of my son or my child and do what it is. So I think women can appreciate the good man when they see it, but unfortunately, sometimes for some women, it is after they had messed up with it.
Right.
Yeah.
But to feed off what Carl said, to me, it gets into the idea of expectation. And I think a lot of women, I mean, and even from generally, you know, starting off from the initial meeting, have expectations of a man. Here's what a man is. And then even fatherhood, here's what a father is. And a lot of times when that expectation or the ideology of what that is not met, you might get the backlash of, well, he's not a good father. He could be doing everything he feels like he's supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not where her mind is with it, it's, he's not really a great father. Or he can improve here and there. And I feel like it's more about...
That comes out of communication.
Communication.
Yeah.
And that's what I think it is. But I think, like I said, it's communication, but we also all have internal expectations or ideologies of what we feel like someone should be. Even if it's right or wrong, we somewhat have that.
It's also like, it sounds like it's societal pressure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you hear you're on TV and you're seeing, you know, all these images of what a father should be. Oh, you know, he drives you to school, makes you breakfast and packs your lunch and picks you up from school. So whenever the woman now sees, okay, you know, they're not really doing this, they're not really doing that, then he's not a great father. So I think the nomenclature that's associated with all of these things is what also brings down the definition and the feeling of what a father is for a father. So if the woman doesn't understand that, then she can't say, hey, you know, your dad is great, you know, make sure that you talk to him, make sure that you share, whatever the case may be.
No, it becomes like an actualization, you know?
It's yeah,
like,
no, but
as soon as they drop that message like, oh, I'm pregnant, you be like,
I got was like, oh,
we need to talk. I was
like, oh, that line to get you in so much trouble.
He was like,
I need to talk. Well, my phone don't work right now.
In my case, it wasn't my lady that was putting the pressure on me. It was her mom's, my mom, her dad, my dad.
Yeah.
It was all the family that just like, So what you gonna do?
Everybody pressures you.
Absolutely.
They're all going through divorces. They're all miserable in marriage. Yep. You ever went to, like, the reason why I was put on the whole marriage thing, I went to church. We had our son there. Church I grew up in, they was like, yeah, so when are you getting married? Now, the people that's pushing us to get married were all going through a divorce.
Ain't that crazy?
Like, that they makes push no that sense. On you. And I think that it's more of a, I don't think men really want to get married. I think at some point we'd be like, okay, I found a good person and I want to settle down. And it's a good idea. But initially, it's always seemed like a woman that always like, so when are we going to do this? When are we going to do this? At some point, you're like, all right, I'll just do it.
But honestly, as a man, I always did want to get married.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted. It sounds corny. I wanted the wife, the kids, the white picket fence, great career, that stuff. So ideally, I think majority I was thinking.
That's probably because that's what you saw, right?
Yeah. My parents, they get divorced, but they were married when they had me. So probably for a while, probably 10 years maybe, I guess, whatever. Ideally, I do think you should be doing order, get married, then have kids. But if you do it the other way around, I'm not going to, just because I have a child with you, I might not marry you. Like, to me, I'm like, you should, a child.
That
should
be
a reason to get married.
But marriage doesn't solve anything.
No. Yeah.
And
exactly.
I think
nor does children.
But
so then again, to play devil's advocate, it's like, why are you to play devil's advocate, like, why are you having kids with someone you can't see yourself marrying in the first place?
And I think that goes both ways. And I think it's a maturity concept. Like, certain people aren't mature enough to know what they want tomorrow, much less 5 years down the line, and you sleep with somebody that's really cool right now, but you can't stand when you're not around them. You know what I'm saying? Like. And I think marriage, people put the label of marriage out there. And I think marriage is a great thing. I think, you know, if you're in love and happy, get married.
Yeah.
But all, I also think at the same time, people think like, all right, so what you waiting for? So it's taking so long. So it's long. What you think about?
My
when it's going to be official.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then it's like you might get the outside pressure of the relationship, the friends that either are single and bitter or married.
We're all looking for a sense of love, either love that we got from our parents or love that we're missing from our parents. And we sometimes attach to somebody who's just as lost or damaged as us. And it's not really love. Either she's cute and you like her because she's cute and she makes you feel wanted, or he's cute and he makes her feel wanted. And we attach to that and we keep it there, and we wind up having kids out of that connection of what we thought love was. And a lot of times we have kids out of wedlock, being lost ourselves, having kids and then raising kids to be lost because we never had that opportunity to find ourselves.
Because a lot of people, they don't take that time to actually work on themselves, you know. We don't take the time out to understand who we are, what our true desires are. When I had my child, it was an accident. Like, I was getting over a relationship, and I walked out.
But you chose to be there in his life.
But I chose to be there because of what I saw.
Yeah.
I love my son. I want to be there. So I didn't necessarily have a son to be a dad. I always knew I wanted to be a father.
Yeah.
But I, in that year span time, I took time to get to know myself, to understand.
But the piggyback of what you said is that's one of the issues.
Exactly.
That we have kids without the intention of
raising
them together as a unit.
But
and a lot of kids are unplanned.
Exactly. Like, it's brokenness. You know what I'm saying? You broken, I'm broken. We're both kind of together.
Exactly.
Oh, crap, we got
together,
a kid.
Our brokenness, we'll put our pieces together,
and
it happens to work for now.
And then we have this child, and it's like our brokenness is not going to raise a whole foundation that a child requires. If anything, the child exposes different levels of how broken you really are.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the consciousness in that?
Yeah, exactly. Who wants
like
to go into
if
it?
If I have a kid with somebody, or if I get somebody pregnant, where's that conversation? You know?
Yeah.
Like, what do you see out of this? Oh, well, you know, I just want to have a kid with you. Like, that's not really forward thinking. That's
exactly.
Not somebody thinking 5, 6, 10 years, and definitely not in the best interest of the child.
I think that's a societal thing that we're being painted as deadbeat dads. The fact that the laws are now set up that if you're in the courtroom because she wants to take you, you're considered
a bad dad.
A number. You're not considered a father, what you do. You know, like, bad experience, I had that. I was sitting there, and I'm just saying to this woman, like, okay, this, you know, this is my ex-wife, the mother of my children. What do you mean I got to pay child support from the day that was born? I put me through school. I put her through school. I got to pay child support from the day my children were born, and they still live in my house, but she wanted to be
I wouldn't say vindictive in a way, because I don't want to paint in a bad light. But for whatever reason, she did it. And I had to sit there and look at the judge and just say, that makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But to feed off what you said to me, the word and concept of deadbeat, that's a discussion.
Right. Yeah.
That's something that people have an emotional context to. They throw around like it's light and like there's nothing behind it. When yet, you could have someone that doesn't know you at all, but knows her and say, he a deadbeat. But yet someone who knows you directly, and they could have just seen you do something with your child. They'd be like, he's not a deadbeat at all. You know what I'm saying? I just saw him with a child. What are you talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So you see what I'm saying? It's a societal concept that someone bitter created, stirred it up, and a bunch of other bitter people got together and created this concept of deadbeat. And to me, the true problem is, like you said, back into the court system, where this mentality of who you are and how you should be treated because you are now a biological father, it actually borderlines being a parolee.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, seriously, being a father in the court system and being a criminal are not that far apart in legal systems, how things are set up.
Yeah. Listen, if you're going to do it with somebody that you can actually envision yourself. And if it doesn't work out, it sucks. But, like, at least be cool enough that it's just like, all right, I'm going to move on.
Man.
You're going to move on. Let's not hit the swords with each other when we move on.
So to sum it up, do it with somebody that you are willing to be miserable for the rest of your life.
Wow. Miserable.
So simple.
Wow.
Wow.
That's
all I'm saying.
What? I think it's understanding what your daughter is to you before you can even really answer this question. You know, because like when I had my daughter, I saw everything in me in her. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, it's crazy how everything I find, like the strong parts, the delicate parts, all that is in an external being outside of me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, now I'm more protective of her. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm crazy in love with her. You know what I'm saying? Like this is my baby girl. So I think the man that I want my daughter to be with, he has to love her if he can, further than I can love her, which is almost impossible.
A lot of guys aren't being introspective and saying, okay,
and
the way I'm treating these women out here, I'm dating this one, doing that one with this one, is that conducive to me being a good parent?
Absolutely.
A lot of people aren't. So I think I've definitely had to look at myself sometimes, okay, well, would I want my daughter, if I had a daughter, would I want my daughter dating a man like me? And I came to the conclusion that, yeah, if I didn't, I would
absolutely.
Change it, but I would. The tension that I have for myself and for my family, I would definitely want my daughter to marry a man like me. I definitely would.
I would want her to date someone like me as a balance of her creativity and her brilliance versus, you know, my kind of baby. But I think that she would gravitate more so to somebody who has her same thing. So in that, I would recommend me.
But you consider yourself a good man enough that if she married somebody, if she brought home someone like you with the intentions of you, you'll be okay with it.
Yeah.
If
you're talking about your values,
your core values, exactly.
What makes you
it don't matter what state
you're
living, exactly.
What you stand for, you know, those are the things I think that she's referring to. And I think that if you're confident in your values and respect yourself and other people respect you, then I think that you should be able to say without a doubt, absolutely.
Yep.
Amen. She better date somebody like I've been married and I was not marriage minded until I was with a woman that made me think, oh, that's dope. The idea of having a woman, a partner on board, let's do that. But before then, I hadn't really seen it work, so I didn't have a context to say, I want that one day. All I saw was divorce. I was like, I don't want that one day.
For more dialogue on fatherhood, subscribe to Madame Noir's YouTube channel.
Okay, that was the first clip. I'm back on the road, headed home. I had some cargo with me. I dropped everybody off. Today is not my usual day to pick baby up from the daycare, but that's what you got to do when you're a daddy. You got those daddy duties, so I done them.
Yeah.
So I picked her up and took her home, so everything's good.
Yes, sir. Okay. I'm still on
thank
board.
Thank you.
Would you like me to go to the next clip? Yes, sir.
I appreciate you helping me out. I really do appreciate that.
Oh, my honor, brother. We have a caller on. Would you like
me
to take your call? Yes.
Yeah, that'd be fine. That's fine.
Okay, let me make sure they want to talk. 1-403. Yes, sir. Let's see if she wants to talk. 1-403, if you'd like to talk.
When it's Sister, peace and blessings, everyone. It's Sister Shamika. I had pressed 1 when the show first started. Hi, everybody. I pressed one when the show first started because you know, I was trying to help him out while, you know, he gets situated. I was just gonna just, you know, do a little talking.
Yes.
But you know, so now that he's okay, you know, I can hold my question. But it is an awesome show, and Brother Anthony, what was great to see is that when the show started, you were actually demonstrating what a father does. You just get in where you fit in. You had your own thing to do. You got called to get your baby, and you went and got your baby. So everyone, what should be noticed is not how unprofessional he may have sounded. It should be, wow, here is a father demonstrating what fathers do. You get in where you fit in. It's like, okay, this is the show, but at the same time, what we got to hear, which was I would call the most adorable thing, is how you're interacting with your children. And yeah, you had your own thing going on, but you know what? You got a call, and you drop that to get your baby. And fathers, that's what it's all about. You know, can the mom depend on you? So you can't say all the time, oh, you know, the mother doesn't want to, but you're not dependable. So you got to demonstrate. It goes hand in hand. I mean, yes, the mothers have been bugging out and acting like they don't need nobody, but at the same time, when she calls you, can you drop everything and come through, you know? So what Brother Anthony just demonstrated is coming through. So that was actually awesome. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. When their brother was taking care of his baby, that stretched my heart to be able to juggle what he was trying to do in the show, but at the same time take care of his baby, and that's the most important. But he still didn't give up on doing the show. So my heart goes definitely out to Brother Anthony and all the fathers that are standing up and being a father. It's nothing like to see a father, especially a black man. It just touches my heart. So let's give kudos and love to Brother Anthony and those that are standing up and being a father.
Brother, you got to demonstrate firsthand, not just give lip service. You got to demonstrate, like, wait, I'm actually with my kids right now, and, you know, I was supposed to be doing this, but guess what? I got a call, and you actually got to demonstrate that. So that was an awesome thing that you know, you see how everything works for the good. Everything just works for the good. You know, we see, like, oh, my God, I'm going to sound so unprofessional. But now the mothers are looking like, wow, he jumped in, and he's demonstrating right on air, you know, what a father does, and that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Exactly.
I appreciate that. Like I said, it was I didn't get the call until later in the day, but you know, like I said, you know, the show still had to go on. You know, picked her up and everything, but and coincidentally, it's on a show about Father's Day and about what we do, and just one thing that we do. I mean, we try to juggle a lot of different things all day long, but I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, when you have kids and you have responsibilities, you know, you sometimes everything goes as planned, but then you have sometimes where, you know, you may have to change up a little bit. Plan A may have to get changed to plan B, but that's just one of the things you got to do when you're a father, because you got a lot of people looking up to you, and that's just the name of the game. So and I hope she did. I was trying to get her to talk, but she wasn't having it. She was, you know, she wasn't in a good mood. She was hungry, and you know, so, you know, I was trying to get her to say a few things. I was trying to get her to say, "My daddy's great," but you know, she wouldn't say that. So I don't know. No, I mean, I tried. You know, I was trying to get her to say, "Listen to my daddy's show, because it's great." But you know, she wasn't. I mean, that would have been a commercial right there. That would have been the perfect commercial. So, but her stomach was growling and she won't have it, so, you know.
Yeah. So, fathers, right, that's listening, you don't, you know, you can't say you want to be involved, but then if the mother calls you last minute, your attitude is, oh, here she go calling me last minute. Why she ain't telling me earlier? Mm-hmm. No, you just say, okay. And you do it.
Yep.
And you know that it's not that serious. You just say okay and you do it. If you need to be late for something, or if you're in the middle
yeah.
of something, stop it. What's more important?
Yeah.
Just do it because you
yeah.
want her to be able to call you. Better she call you than her boyfriend, you know, or better she call you
yeah.
than some other dude. You, she's calling you. So, you know, don't get into this bitterness of, oh, she called me last minute and she ain't know if I had things to do. She not respecting my time. You know, Brother
yeah.
Anthony just demonstrated online, you know, have a spirit of, okay, all right, no problem. Okay, yes, I will. Yeah, okay, I can pick her up, sure. Because you ain't got nothing that, what's more important, even if you have to tell your job, listen, I got to leave a
yep.
little bit early, you know, my wife or my mom or, you know, I mean, whatever, whoever, my baby mama, you know, whoever. And let's stop calling them baby mamas. You know, let's stop calling them, you ain't got to lie and say my wife, but, you know, I got to call. I got my, you know, I got to go. I have to pick up my child, you know. You don't want to say don't
yep.
be labeled as deadbeats and baby daddies and you know, let's say you work at a job where, you know, your boss is white. Don't say my baby mama just, don't say that. Just say I have to
yep.
pick up my child. I have to leave early. I have
yep.
to go pick up my child. So it's what you think of yourself, you know. You call her baby mama, she calling you baby daddy, and then that ratchetness gets into play. That is the mother of your child. And, you know, you don't
yep.
need to say, oh, my baby mama called me last minute, I got to go. No, I have to go pick up my child from daycare. Sorry, I just had to call last minute. You know, keep
yeah.
it like that. We have to start protecting our families. We have to start doing that. And once we start doing that, we'll raise a better generation, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
with that, I rest my mind.
Yeah. And I want to say this before, and I want to get the next clip. I kind of
mm-hmm.
don't like that term baby mama. I actually, me personally, I actually find that it's kind of a degrading term. I don't like it. I try not to use it. Matter of fact, I don't use it because it just sounds degrading. You know, when people, my baby mama. I mean, I, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that I just don't like that term. It just doesn't sound right to me. It sounds disrespectful. I think the
yeah.
word is I'm looking for. It just disrespects because it's, you know, all you're saying is, you know, that lady right there, you know, had my kid, you know, and that
yeah.
that doesn't sound right to me. So I don't even
mm-hmm.
use that term, you know, because, you know, I was married and, you know, those are my two children that I had from her. Those are her kids. Those are her children. You know, that is the mother of my children. That sounds better than baby mama. You know,
yeah.
that just sounds so hood, so hood ratty. that's not a word. It just don't sound right. And I just don't like that term. You know, it just sounds degrading. It sounds
yeah.
it's just disrespectful. It stinks. So I don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope other people try not to use it too. But I know that's going to be impossible. But, you know. But anywho, like I said, I'm on my way. But until then, I know everybody's going to get tired of listening to my monotone voice over and over again. So, Sister Pam, could you play clip number two, please? So, rolling.
Peace,
I
family.
Appreciate it.
Today, we want to talk about a sensitive subject. We want to talk about the demonization of black fathers. It appears that in American society and in Western society in general, it is the aim of the media, it is the aim of society in general to demonize black fathers and lionize black mothers. Now, we don't want to cause no confusion today, so I'm not trying to create a dynamic where it's black women against black men. I believe that we live in a time period that calls for unprecedented unity between black men and black women, black mothers and black fathers. But we have to point out what we see when we see it in order for us to correct some of what it is that's right in front of our face. And the demonization of black fathers has been such a glaring dynamic in our community that we can no longer ignore it. Now, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and for those of you who don't know what that is, that's white folks, they came out with a study about 2 years ago that stated, of all the white fathers in America, all the Asian fathers in America, and of all the Latino fathers in America, it is black fathers who have the habit or the history of spending more time with their children on a daily basis. Now, this is a positive statistic about black fatherhood, but unfortunately, we never hear about that one. What we hear is that the black community is absent black fathers, and that 70% of the homes in the black community are headed by women. Now, we really don't know how true or untrue those statistics are, because we do know that the media uses so-called statistics for propaganda purposes. So sometimes the statistics that we hear are not even true. They're lies. But, well, Derek, prove to me what you're saying about the demonization of black fathers. Well, I got a couple examples, all right? I want to take a look at some of your favorite celebrities. And nobody is loved as a celebrity like Beyonce. Our sister Beyonce Knowles has what they call the Beehive. And the Beehive is alive worldwide. But now, I'm from Houston, Texas. Beyonce is from Houston, Texas, from Third Ward to be exact. I know the neighborhood that she grew up in. I remember when Destiny's Child was a local group and all they did was community events. Every community event you went to, I don't care if it was a health fair, I don't care if a congressperson was hosting a banquet, it could be a birthday party. You saw Destiny's Child and Beyonce performing. That is how she honed her skill and mastered her craft as an entertainer. Now, question. Who was it that trained Beyonce, that guided her career, that was holding her hand and making certain that she showed up at all of these events? It was her father, a brother by the name of Matthew Knowles. Matthew Knowles, from what I understand, is a good guy. I've met him several times. We're not friends or anything, but I know him personally. We work with him on community issues, so on and so forth. Now, when you hear the name Matthew Knowles, very seldom does society give him the credit that he deserves for investing in his daughter's career. When you hear the name Matthew Knowles, or you Google him, 9 times out of 10, something will come up about his personal life. They're talking about how many children he had out of wedlock. Really things that are not even anybody's business. But they would rather give the credit to Beyonce's mother and not her father. This is one of the tactics that they use to demonize black fathers. So you think that that's just an isolated incident? Let me take you a little bit further into it. Let's talk about the greatest entertainer who ever lived. You already know who I'm talking about. The great Michael Jackson. Now, Michael Jackson was beyond amazing. Michael Jackson was considered the 8th wonder of the world. Most of your entertainers wouldn't even be who they are today were it not for Michael Jackson. They wouldn't sing like they sing. They wouldn't dance like they dance. They wouldn't produce the way they produce. Michael Jackson changed the game. Who was it that was the driving force behind Michael Jackson's career? Come on, talk to me. Now, Katherine Jackson, who was the matriarch of the Jackson family, deserves all of the credit that she is due. So does Tina Knowles, Beyonce's mom. She deserves all the credit that she's due. But let's just be real. It was Joe Jackson, who was a former boxer, if I'm not mistaken, who understood the discipline that it takes in order for you to master any kind of craft. He ran his household like it was a boot camp, from what I understand. And though we may have disagreed with his methods, we cannot argue with the results. The man produced an entertainment dynasty. And out of that dynasty came the greatest entertainer that ever lived. But when we talk about Joseph Jackson, what do we say? It's Joe Jackson's fault that Michael didn't have a childhood. Well, let's say that that's true, and I think Michael Jackson had a long childhood. I mean, the man lived at Neverland Ranch all the way up into his 30s, 40s, and 50s. And I don't know what happened in that household, and I'm not trying to make a judgment on that. All I'm saying is, can we give the man credit for what it is that he did do versus always talking about what he didn't do? Demonization of the black father. Okay, you think that's an isolated incident? Let's talk about Venus and Serena. Their father, man by the name of Richard Williams, a brother who I've had the honor of meeting and knowing, good brother, good man, very outspoken, loves his people, loves his community, and he just don't take no crap from nobody. Now, these girls were raised in Compton, California. I'm going to say that again. They were raised in Compton. And this man, this black man, protected his daughters from the Compton streets. He knew nothing about tennis. This man went and he got VHS tapes. And he watched them over and over and over again. And he used them as instructional tools for how you teach somebody how to play tennis. He taught them the discipline that they have right now. They say this man used to look like a homeless man walking down the Compton streets with a basket filled with tennis balls. And this is what he felt he had to do in order to give his daughters a leg up in the tennis game. What do we have right now? You've got two beautiful, powerful sisters who not only changed the game of tennis, but they changed the game of women's sports. But when the media talks about Richard Williams, they don't give him credit for what he did to produce these beautiful daughters. What they do is talk about his personal life, which is none of their business. Demonization of the black father. I give you one more example, just in case you think that's an isolated event. Let's look at TBE, the man that they call the best ever. See, the man who stepped inside of that squared circle called a boxing ring and dominated 49 opponents. Nobody has ever beat Floyd Mayweather in a fair fight or unfair fight for that matter. Let's take a look at Floyd. Floyd grew up in Michigan, I think it was. He was poor. He had a harsh childhood. His father went to prison at an early age for allegedly selling drugs. Now, Floyd's father was a championship fighter. His uncle was also a fighter, both uncles. So he comes from a fighting family. So they say when Floyd Mayweather was 2 years old, his daddy had him in the gym, hitting the bag, the heavy bag. Then he had him in there on the speed bag. And they talked about how hard he was on his son. He made him get out there and run even when his son didn't want to run. And so even the family members used to complain that Floyd didn't have no childhood because his daddy was too hard on him. But look at the man now. This man is a master craftsman when he laces up those leather gloves. Nobody can be Floyd Mayweather. But when they talk about his father, they rather talk about the stint that his dad did in prison or the personal issues that he and his father have had, but nobody wants to give the man credit for creating a genius in the boxing ring. Floyd Mayweather would not be who he is today were it not for his father. Demonization of the black father. So what they would rather do is demonize the father and lionize the mother, because they know the natural order of things says that the man is the head of the community and the head of the household. And when you remove the head, the rest of the family is fair game. This is a propaganda tool that they've been using for years, brothers and sisters, and we got to wake up. So what are you saying, Derek? I'm saying that we have to be careful how we look at one another. See, I've given you examples of celebrities, but you got to realize that this is just a microcosm of a macrocosm. This is something that happens every single day in your family and in my family. So On every Father's Day, I call it so-called Father's Day because it's a shame that in Western society they have to commercialize everything that is of virtue and value. Like motherhood is very, very valuable. Let's make a day out of it and try to find a way to make some money off of it. Same with fatherhood. Beautiful concept, beautiful principle, the principle of fatherhood. Let's find a way to make some money off of it. So here in the city of Houston, every Father's Day, we host what's called a Day of Encouragement for Black Fathers. And we want to challenge other cities. If you recognize that there is a plan to demonize Black fathers, if Black fathers are to be encouraged and lifted up, we can't wait for the media to do it. We need to do it ourselves. So this Father's Day, you should consider hosting in your community, in your city, a Day of Encouragement where you just rent out the park and you just create little activities so that if there is a father who doesn't have the money to do anything with his child, just go get your baby and bring your baby to the park. We'll make sure that there's something to eat. You can go and there'll be a basketball tournament, a football tournament. It doesn't take a lot of money. All it takes is our unity. So let's start a movement to encourage Black fathers. That means if you know a Black father who is not taking care of his child financially, you can beat him over the head if you want to, but that ain't gonna do no good. Encourage him. If you know a Black father who is not doing what he should do, sit down and talk to him and try to figure out why and see if there's a way that you can help. Now, I'm not trying to say that we should coddle or cuddle men who don't stand up to their responsibility when it comes to fatherhood. All I'm saying is that if the world that we're living in is not going to encourage them, we have to find a way to do it ourselves. So the demonization of Black fathers is real. And you might think that it's isolated and it's happening in somebody else's life, but 9 times out of 10, it's happening right around you. Let's do a better job at encouraging one another, and let's do a better job at taking care of our children and being great fathers.
Okay. I liked a lot of things that he said, and I do think that, and we all know that media tries to paint Black fathers in a bad light, even though the cards are stacked against us. And we know this, and we can go back to the shows I did on slavery. You know, as soon as slavery was ended, and well, technically it's not ended, but, the part where people cannot be bought and sold as property, that part. But, what I'm saying is that when, the practice was ended and, everybody was pretty much, let go. I mean, you know, Black people didn't have jobs, they didn't have property, they didn't have money, they didn't have anything. So they pretty much had to start from the bottom and try to build a family up. And so, you know, you have these Black men out there trying to do what they can to make sure that, you know, the household is taken care of. So we've been dealt a crummy hand to begin with. So we, you know, we have to get out there and we do what we got to do to make sure that our kids have what they need. Make sure that the wife is taken care of, make sure the house is taken care of. And I think we do a pretty good job. But as usual, the media wants to make us look bad because, you know, it's that narrative that, you know, they already think Black people don't, you know, we're not that bright. So, you know, we have, and then you really have people in the media who think that all Black men do is just run around getting everybody pregnant. And then just skipping town whenever, you know, I'm you know, the mother says, you know, I'm pregnant. And, you know, they just automatically think that we just run out and we just, you know, we don't stick around. That's not true. That is not true. We do what we have to do because, you know, we're responsible and that's how we are. So we're not even going to play by that mess that the media likes to put out there. There were times I had a job where I worked second shift and the third shift, I wouldn't get off until 6:30 in the morning. And when my son was playing football, usually on Saturdays when they had games, they would have games about 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. I'd get off at 6, 6:30, go home, try to take a nap, get up, change clothes, and I'd go to his games. Even though I was tired as I don't know what, that was still my job. And I went out there and I cheered my son on. And even when they lost, they lost more games than they won, but I was still there. And I still cheered him and his teammates on because that's what I was there for. And even though I was plumb tired, some nights were long, some nights were, you know, weren't as long, but I was still there. And as soon as the game was over, I'd go home. If I had to work that night, I'd go home and take a nap and get up and do it all over again. But the point is, I was there. And there are a lot of fathers like that. You know, we sacrifice and we do what we have to do. And, you know, it's possible we don't get enough credit. I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, I don't want nobody cheering for the simple things that I do. I do what I got to do because that's my job. So I don't need nobody to cheer for me. And, you know, it's like what Chris Rock said, you got people, I take care of my kids. Well, damn it, you're supposed to take care of your kids. I mean, what do you want, a cookie? You're supposed to do that. So we do it. And, you know, so we're not even going to worry about that narrative, what the media wants to put out there and try to make us look bad. We know how, we know what to do, and we handle our business. So I just want to say that, you know, that was good clip with some very good examples of black fathers doing what they need to do. That was number two. Sister Pam, could you play clip number three for me?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right, how about this photo? And it's a little photo that's generated all kinds of chat on Facebook, Twitter, so on, so forth. There it is. It's a dad. He's trying to get 2-year-old's hair ready to go. He has 6-month-old up against his chest. That's a great shot of someone just being a dad. Yet he's taking all kinds of crap for this. I want to know why. We've got a panel to talk about it coming up. Welcome back to HLN News Now. Again, you're going to see this picture, and to me anyway, I'm like, what am I missing here? It's a dad. He's taking care of his 2 little girls, these cute little girls. He posts it, and the whole genesis of this is that his wife, who has to go to work, is questioning whether or not he can hold everybody together. Can he get his 2-year-old ready? You can see him working on her hair. His name's Dwayne Richards, and he has his own website. It's called daddydoingwork.com. So there's the photo he posted. And then at the end of the day, nice ponytail, and little 6-month-old, I think, falls asleep on his chest. And I think he somehow communicates with his wife. Boom, got it done. And I think we should all be cheering this. But instead, what are we finding out? That this guy is taking all kinds of junk for this photo for being what we'd think would be a good dad. What am I missing here as we take a look at some of the comments? And here's a few of them. I would bet anything that you're a deadbeat. And so do you do this for all of your illegitimate kids? That's the kind of crap that came his way. Here's what Dwayne told our own Vinnie Politan just last week. Let's give it a listen.
I'm just doing what millions of good dads do. So I'm super uncomfortable with, like, the super dad thing. If a woman did this, this would not be news, right? But the fact that I'm a guy and I do that, that just shows that we really need to change the narrative on what fatherhood's about.
Again, and I like that as well. A lot of dads are doing this. He doesn't want to be dubbed a super dad, but he also wants to cheer other dads, I think, to do the same thing. This story's generated so much chatter that we decided to take it a step further. Find out why. What am I missing? What are we missing that this would generate controversy? So we've assembled a great panel with us, and I'd like to introduce our panel. Bryant Marks is with us, Executive Director at the Morehouse Research Institute on the African American Male. My Brown Baby blogger, Denise Miller, is with us as well. And we welcome back Al Dwan Tardy, psychologist, relationship expert, and father of a 7-year-old girl. Welcome, everybody. Denise, I'll start with you. What do you make of this? Why is that photo, which is a good one in most of our books, creating so much controversy?
It's typical because the narrative of black fathers is stereotypical to begin with. What you have constantly is the statistics that black fathers are not in homes. Black families are headed mostly by black women, and the fathers are not present. And so when you have this narrative of a black man taking care of his 2 children, it sort of goes against everything that we hear in the media, in the newspapers, in the magazines, and you don't know how to make hay of it. But the fact of the matter is that this is not new to anyone who has a black father. my dad put a jerry curl in my hair when I was 12. Like, he was the one who was responsible for my hair when my mom couldn't do it. And we have pictures of that. So seeing him do that was not new to people who do have black fathers who are involved.
Brian, weigh in. What do you make of this?
And just to piggyback on that, I think there's a certain distance between what you see and what you expect to see, mm-hmm. right? So as a psychologist, anytime we see a human being, we process gender and race immediately. And as soon as we process that, whatever associations we have with black, white, Hispanic, Asian, or male or female become more readily accessible. So we're looking at this image, and if it's inconsistent with what we think we should see, it causes some dissonance, some discomfort, where we have to explain it away. So one way to explain it away is to say, oh, it's not a real image, right? The rental kids, the comments that you might have
right.
seen. He's not a real dad, he rented his kids. The other notion is to treat him as an exception. Well, yeah, he's doing that, but he's the exception, right? Some of what folks may think of as the sort of Bill Cosby or Oprah Winfrey phenomenon. They're black, but they're a different type of black person.
Hmm.
And the other one is to actually change your mind. And that's where the growth can happen. So when you have this dissonance, you can change your attitude and possibly say, well, looking at this image, I thought about it one way, but now maybe, you know, African-American fathers are responsible dads. So those are some possibilities.
Yeah. Alderwan?
I think it shows two things. One, African-American men, we have a branding problem. What you see is what you'll be, and there's not enough positive images of black men taking care of their children out there. That's the reality, but if it's not seen, it's questioned. And I think the second thing is, when we start talking about manhood, you know, it's manly to take care of your children.
Yes,
it's
it
not
is.
About just bringing home the bacon. It's not about just working all the time, providing finances. Being there to shape your daughter into who she's supposed to be, who God created her to be, is fatherhood, and that's why I celebrate him.
I know it.
I don't know about two babies at the same time. I have to give it up. I can do one. I can do one, but two.
He's not a super dad, but he's doing yeoman's work there. Let's say that. Well, here's the statistic that you were talking about. So 2011 U.S. Census Bureau statistic, 2 in 3, at 64% of African-American children live in father-absent homes.
Right.
That's a quote there.
Then,
so with that said, what do we do with that statistic linked up with that picture, Denise?
We juxtapose that with a statistic that came out just over the holidays about how fathers, black fathers in particular, are more likely to be more involved with their children than other races and cultures. Whether they live in the house with the children or not, they're very involved with their children. And I think what you're saying about the branding issue is huge. And it's not just other races that look at us that way. Sometimes we're the worst judgers of black fathers. Think about what happens on Father's Day when, you know, there are cards in the Hallmark that speak specifically to congratulating mothers on Father's Day. No, my dad deserves to be celebrated, but you will find again and again during this holiday, black women, single black women, single black moms saying, you know, he's not there and I'm not going to celebrate on Father's Day. Well, that's us. We need to be better about putting those images out
there. By the way, just letting everybody know that some of the Twitter comments, both pro and con, we're going to scroll those through. Just to let you know, just give you a flavor of what went on. Alderwan, you want to jump in? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think also what doesn't show is how much mentoring goes on in the African-American community. You know, at Morehouse College, 100 Black Men, these are organizations that mentor thousands and thousands of youth. So you start talking about not having an African, it might not be your father, but there are men out there that are mentoring 12 to 15 to 20 kids per year as part of these programs, so that they see positive images of black men and what it means to be an African-American dad and a man.
Hey, Brent, real quick on that. So with the picture, as he said, he's not a super dad for doing that.
Absolutely.
But how do we get the message, whether you're black or white, you're just a dad, that, hey, that's what we should all be doing as dads. You know, I mean, that's just loving on our kids and making an impact that will last longer than anything we can do in the workplace or anywhere else.
Yeah, part of it is gender, and then it's complicated by race. So, for example, if a dad were white, but it still might have struck folks as odd that a man is doing his daughter's hair, regardless of race. So there's just a gender role component there. And then for the African-American male, the stereotypes on top of that make it even more unlikely to some viewers that are out there. So in terms of I think the branding piece is key. I think there are roughly 5 million black males, men, who are married. Right, who have children who are involved. That's census data as well. So there are millions of black men, to the point of the author, that are doing what they're supposed to do. And we don't necessarily want a lot of credit. I have two daughters. I have a six-year-old. I'm highly engaged and try to be fun and do things with her. And I don't expect a pat on the back. That's what I'm supposed to do.
All right. Well, guys, we wish we had more time. Deneen, Brian, Alderwan, great stuff. And again, you get to see the comments there at the bottom of the screen. Just to let you know what we're talking about here. A great photo turns to controversy.
914-803-4571.
914-803-4571. And now that I have my notes in front of me, I know what the next clip is going to be. This next clip is, this next clip is from actor John Amos. He played James Evans Sr. I mentioned him earlier in the show. And I like his portrayal on the show. And like I said, you know, when he's on the show, I watch all the episodes. When he's not on the show, I stop watching. And I don't know if I'm the only one like that. I've heard other people are the same way, but he's just, you know, to me, I'm not going to say he's that perfect father, but he's that father that's, you know, I've never been to Chicago. I don't know how hard Chicago is or anything like that, but, you know, he just plays that role so well that, you know, I enjoy watching him on the show because, like I said, when he's not on it, I don't even watch. I really don't. He was interviewed in this clip, and it's not a long clip, but he had some interesting words to say, so I'm going to play that right now. All right, let me try it again. Well, dog. Okay, let me try it again. Okay, don't want that right. Okay. Well, like I said, the show goes on, so we're going to do the next clip. And hopefully this one will work. This is Dr. Umar Johnson. And the title of this clip is Where's My Daddy? Hopefully this will work. If this one works, and I'll go back and hopefully I can play the other clip later. But here's Dr. Johnson.
Let's talk about the facts. 64% of black children don't live with their fathers.
Well, okay. Okay. All right. We'll try something else. Okay, we'll try something else. We're not going to let this beat us. So let's try, let's see, let me hit the right button. Maybe I'm not hitting the right button. Maybe today has been just so unusual that I can't even hit a button right.
I'm still here, Brother Anthony. Did you need me to hit the button for you, or do you have it, sir?
Still connected, looks like everybody. Okay. What's going on here?
Brother Anthony, can
is
you hear me?
Anybody still on hold that can hear me?
Yes, I can still hear you. Can you hear me? It's really going up. Oh my. The program has dropped.
Yeah.
I thought it was you got 26 minutes. Right. I don't know what. It's a host calling 425. And I think. He calling in it. Okay. Let me call in. I don't know what to do. If he's going to call back then or what.
Yeah. Okay, I think I'm back on. Having some technical issues. Let me see if I can get this clip to play. Let's see. I hit the right button here.
From a genetic standpoint, the man, the alpha male, look, let's reduce this to.
Wow, looks like I'm having issues. I don't know why. Looks like I'm having issues. I there's anybody out there, can you hear me? No, I think I'm having issues. Something's not working.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me, Brother Anthony?
Is there anybody on hold that can hear me?
Yes, sir. Me and Sister Shamika can hear you.
Looks like he can't hear
us. Sister Shamika, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It looks like he can't hear us.
Oh. Okay, let me try this. Hello, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Brother Anthony, can you hear? Hello?
We can hear him, but he can't hear us.
Yeah,
sure,
that's what looks like it's going on.
Wow. And he's still logged in because I tried to log back in as the host, but he's still in there.
Hello, can anybody out there hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Oh,